Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. This is the first Sunday that we have the opportunity to focus on our Lenten journey, where we follow our Savior Jesus to the finale of his work on our behalf, where he lived and died for us and then rose again. That makes this a good time to tap into the power of that good news, to repent and to refocus, so that God might share times of refreshing with us as we pursue a stronger relationship with him, a stronger relationship with one another, and a stronger relationship as we gather together to do ministry in the name of our Savior God. May God bless us as we worship along those lines. I have some thoughts to share with you as to how God is going to share one very unique tool with you, and I'll share that with you during the sermon, a tool that will help you and bless you on your Lenten journey. The order of worship that we will use during the season of Lent is the baptismal gathering rite. That starts on page 3 in your worship booklet. Let us worship the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In holy baptism, God our Father connects us to Jesus in his death to sin, and resurrection to new life. As we make our Lenten journey to the cross, let us remember the blessings of our baptism, which unites us to Christ's death and gives us the eternal salvation he won for us.
Baptized in
no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Surely we were sinful at birth, sinful from the time our mothers conceived us.
As baptized children of God, we confess our sins. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Your promise surely will endure.
Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, our strength, the battle of good and evil rages within and around us, and our ancient foe tempts us with his deceits and empty promises. Keep us steadfast in your word, and when we fall, raise us up again and restore us through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first lesson is recorded in Genesis chapter 22. This is the testing of Abraham. This lesson will also be the basis for my sermon today. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And the two of them went on together. Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. This is the word of the Lord. The psalm of the day is Psalm 3 on page 7. We sing it according to the instructions in the worship book. In the second lesson, St. Paul reminds us that we will face difficult times. Some of those difficult times are times of testing from the Lord. Some of them are fallout from our sin. Some of them are just the difficulties that come with life in this world. God promises us victory through our Savior Jesus. The second lesson is recorded in Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. We stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 1. In our struggles against sin and temptation and worry and doubt, on our Lenten journey, the Gospel reminds us that we have a champion. We have a champion, and his name is Jesus. And he fought our victories for us, and he won a victory for us. At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated for the hymn of the day, hymn 201. Please remain standing. Fine tradition for us to stand all during this battle hymn, especially as it prepares us for Lent. Please remain standing as we sing hymn 201.
Thank you. Please be seated. So we're going to use Lent as a time to return to the Lord. And we don't really need a season in the church year to do that, do we? Right? We can repent and be assured of God's love for us and forgiven on the first day of Lent just as easily as we can the 21st day after Pentecost. We can repent and return to the Lord just as easily as when we're returning from the communion rail as you are returning on your commute home from work. You share with God something that is heavy on your heart in prayer, and then you recall the promises he makes to you through his word, and you can return to the Lord no matter what time of the year it is, no matter where you are. But it's a unique blessing we have to have the 40 days of Lent to perhaps focus intentionally and intensely on one area of your relationship with God. Maybe there's one thing in your life you're going to use these 40 days to intensely pursue, and you want to correct that. Maybe you just want to get closer to God by focusing on home Bible study, and that's going to be your fight this Lenten season. That's how you are going to return to the Lord. Or maybe you want to refocus and you want to refresh your heart so that you can refocus on our ministry here at St. Mark's. Regardless of how you are going to use these 40 days, you can be sure that God is going to be right there with you. And he's going to walk right alongside of you and say, I'm right there to help you by sending you a time of testing. And then I guarantee you Satan's going to be right there too, along with his lackeys. He's going to be there with the sinful world, and he's going to be there with your own sinful heart. And he's going to tell you and challenge you, you know, what kind of a God is this? You asked him for help on your Lenten journey, and he promises you a time of testing? That is not right. That is not fair. That is not loving. And he's going to convince you that a time of testing is the worst thing God could ever take you through, especially during this difficult time of Lent. And then that's going to work, and that's going to start working on our minds, and then maybe you think, you know what, maybe God should do something special for us this Lent, like give us our own chapter in the Bible. Abraham did well through his time of testing, but Genesis 22, it's all about him. God tells him how it's going to go. And maybe you think testing would be easier if there was a chapter that started, and sometime later, God tested Pastor Schmidt. And then the next chapter was all about you. And here's how God did this. And then the middle of the chapter would be how the Lord provided for you and how the Lord provided for me. And the end of the chapter would be all the blessings that God shared with us through this time of testing. I can't guarantee you that. I can't give you that. But I can guarantee you that God is going to test you. I can guarantee you that God is going to provide for you during your time of testing. And I can guarantee you that God is going to bless you through the whole experience and after he brings you through the other side of your time of testing. We see that with Abraham, don't we? The chapter starts sometime later, that sometime after Isaac was born, sometime later God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, Abraham replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you. You know, did God forget how long Abraham and Sarah were waiting for a child? Did God forget how much was riding on this child? Did God forget his promise to populate the land of Canaan with his descendants? Did God forget about all the testing in Abraham's life up to this? Abraham left his father. He left his home. And he's following God through a country that is not his own and that is occupied by other people. And God says, oh yeah, I'm going to give this to you someday. Is God out of his mind in telling Abraham to do this? And is Abraham out of his mind for doing it? He just gets up early in the next morning. Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about.
On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Did Abraham forget about the promises? Did Abraham forget about God's promise to settle his family and to bless the world, future generations, through his son? I think two things when we start thinking that way. One, avoid the temptation to pretend that you are on the same level as God. And two, avoid the temptation to drag down God down onto our level. That temptation to think that you know a much better way, and that you know when God is making a good call and when God is making a bad call, and when God is doing it right and when God is completely out of his mind. Avoid the temptation to bring God down onto some sinful, human, weak level, as though he has less than noble intentions of taking his people through times of testing, as if he just wants to see what's going to happen and he's not out of control, as if there's even just a little bit of sin and sinfulness in his intentions in testing. God tested Abraham not to see if Abraham would goof up or if Abraham would slip up or if Abraham would finally lose it. God tested Abraham because he knew what he had worked in Abraham. God was giving Abraham to show God and to show himself the faith and trust and confidence that God had worked in him. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." The Lord tested Abraham, and he used it to show the faith, trust, and confidence that God had worked in Abraham's heart. And God is going to do the same for you too. God is going to test you, not to try to get you to sin, not to try to get you to slip up, not to see how far he can push you as if it's some sort of sick game that he's playing with you. God is going to test you to show you what's in here, to show you what he has worked in here, to show you who he is and what he has done for you. And when we start pretending to know and be on his level, or we start to drag him down, nothing good happens. It's going to drive you nuts. You're not going to get the answers you're looking for. And you're going to run around wondering, well, is this a test? Is this a test? What's the answer? What does God want me to do? What does God want me to say? What am I supposed to do? You know, what does a $2,000 medical bill mean? What kind of test is that? An unexpected repair? Another family trip through cancer? Another family fight? What are all these things supposed to be doing for me? The only thing that's going to happen if you start putting yourself on God's level, or you start accusing him of not being fair and not loving you and not doing things right, you're going to start to make your head spin. And you're going to start to make your gut churn. And you're going to start thinking things you know you shouldn't think about your relationship with God and other people. And you're going to start saying things you know you shouldn't be saying about God and about other people and to other people. And you're going to start doing things you know you shouldn't be doing. And this Lenten journey, instead of being a blessing to you, instead of growing closer to God this Lent, you're going to drive yourself further and further away from the Lord. God promises to test you, and he promises to provide for you in your time of testing. He provided for Abraham. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide."
And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. On the surface, yeah, God provided a ram. God provided a sacrifice, so he didn't sacrifice his only son. But God also provided for future generations, didn't he? God provided a way out so that Abraham could prove his taste and his test, prove his faith. And God also provided for future generations. God provided to sustain Abraham's family line. God provided for the promise that Abraham's family was going to occupy the land, and the Savior was going to be born from Abraham's family. He said to his servant, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Where did Abraham get that confidence from? We read about Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Where did Abraham get that strength and that confidence to in his mind and in his heart to go through with this already? It didn't come from Abraham. If you go back a couple chapters in Genesis, you'll see what comes out of Abraham. The worry and the doubt and the deceit. This didn't come from him. This came from God. God provided for Abraham the faith that was necessary to get through this test. And God promises to provide the same for you too. He doesn't come directly to us. The angel of the Lord doesn't come down and visit us at night and say, "Here's what you're going to do and here's what's going to happen." But God does provide for us. Especially in those times when we start to pretend that we know more than he does, and we get all prideful and we start telling God how it is. God loves us and God forgives us for that kind of pride. And he backs up that promise by sacrificing his only son for us. And when we drag down God down into our level and accuse him of not doing things right, he shows us how he did do things right. And he sacrificed his son for us so that he can fully and freely forgive us too. The Lord provides for you. The Lord provides for me, especially in times of testing. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? When we face extremely difficult times, and we do, don't we? When we face those times that stretch us and stress us and start to strain our faith and our relationship with God, God gives us this promise. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Not more than conquerors because of who we are. Not more than conquerors because of what we bring to the table. Not more than conquerors because we are such fine, upstanding soldiers for God. More than conquerors because of who our Savior is and the victory that he has won for us and the faith and trust and confidence that God has worked in our hearts. God promises to provide for us and to bless us in our times of testing. He blessed Abraham, didn't he? Can you imagine the trip back down the mountain? Can you imagine what that must have been like? Having gone through this whole ordeal, and you are now strengthened, you are confirmed in your faith and your relationship with God, and you look at your son, and you know your son has the same conviction that you do. And then you go back to your servants. Remember the guys you promised, "Hey, we're both coming back." And you get to tell them this whole story. And then you get to go home, and you get to tell your wife, "Guess what happened on the mountain?" And you get to tell your whole household. And you get to tell generations that follow you. And then thousands of years later, we are sitting in this church and we are being strengthened and confirmed in our relationship with God. because the Lord promises to provide, and he does, and the Lord promises to bless, and he does. Find comfort in the fact that your God loves you enough to test you and to provide for you and to bless you, because I get it, I know, I understand. I know what it's like to go through difficult and trying times. And I know that you hurt, and I know that you stress, and I know that you worry, and I know that that strains your relationship with God, and I know that your heart breaks for people that you love and care about when they go through difficult times too. Which is why your God promises you through St. Paul, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing of what we go through can separate us from the love of God that is ours in Jesus. And we don't just eke our way through these times of testing and say, "Phew, I'm glad that's over." We don't stumble through and somehow stumble upon victory. We don't struggle through and get some sort of participation ribbon because of what we've gone through. We win. We conquer through who our Savior Jesus is. God promises to bless us, bring him to himself, and he does. He promises to give us a story and glory to share with our friends and families, to say, "Do you know how God got me through this? God can do the same for you." You know what promise God made and kept to Abraham? That's a promise that God has made and kept to you and to me too. Do you want to get the most out of what's left of our 40 days of Lent? Do you want to be strengthened to improve yourself, improve your relationship with God, grow closer to him, grow closer to one another, rally together in support of our ministry? Remember these Lenten guarantees. God is going to test you. And God is going to provide for you through your time of testing, and God is going to bless you on the other side. And you will be closer to him. You will be a stronger child of God. God will bless you. Amen. Please stand. Confess our faith together with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May be seated as we worship our God with our gifts this morning. The prayer of the church for this morning is the responsive prayer of the church printed in your worship booklet. That prayer is on page 10. In our prayers this morning, we have been asked to remember our sister Betty Arney, who was hospitalized recently, to undergo some tests to see what is troubling her heart. And those tests went fairly well, and by God's grace, she may very well go home this afternoon. We will include Betty in our prayers, and we also remember the Russell's family friend, Maria, who is in hospice care after a battle with cancer. We ask God to continue to be with her. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you loved the world and gave your Son to liberate us from sin and death by his obedient death on the cross. Lord of the church, we thank you for the treasure of the gospel. By your Spirit, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let us pray for those who carry a cross in the name of Christ and face ridicule and persecution for the sake of the kingdom. Missionaries and chaplains, young people who stand up for what is right in the face of pressure to do what is wrong, and all who pay a high price for their faith and their values as Christians. Let us pray for those who carry heavy burdens in life, the sick and the chronically ill, the depressed and the lonely, those torn by conflict in personal relationships, those victimized by war and injustice, and all who face the terrors of life with a heavy heart.
Grant them peace, O Lord, and in your mercy, be their guardian and friend, their comfort and hope.
Let us pray for those who care for others, pastors and counselors, physicians and nurses, social workers and caring friends, all who feed the hungry, comfort the hurting, and stand beside the dying.
Strengthen them in their work, Lord, and do not let them become weary in doing good.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your promise to bless us during times of testing. We ask that you would stand with the Russells as they stand beside their friend Maria. We ask that you would share the blessings that came through her time of testing, through her battle with sickness. We ask that you give her soul rest, peace, and comfort as she awaits the day that you will call her home. And on that day, help her and her friends to glory in the victory she will have over everything that troubled her in this life. We also ask that you would be with our sister Betty during her time of testing. We thank you that at this point things look good. We ask that that continue to be your will. We ask that you give wisdom and guidance to the doctors as they give her instructions, and we ask that you continue to keep her healthy so that we might enjoy her and her faithful witness to us as a sister in Christ. Help us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Keep us faithful even to the point of death, that we may receive the crown of life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Continue our worship by singing together hymn 100.
Thank you.
Everybody stand. Almighty God, grant to your church the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes from above. Let nothing hinder your word from being freely proclaimed to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, so that we may serve you in steadfast faith and confess your name as long as we live. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Flyer that you may have already received or will be receiving as you leave. And that's actually the first announcement this morning. Today we're starting a new format for sharing announcements with you. This flyer, some of you may have received it as you came into church. If you haven't already, I would encourage you to pick one up on your way out. This flyer is the exact same announcement flyer that comes home in Pastor Stray's weekly email update. So if you would like to receive that weekly email update, there's information on page 15 in your worship booklet for how you can subscribe to that. If you dismiss down the middle, Mr. Webb will be handing you the announcements. If you go out the sides, there's a little table right next to the door. You can pick up your announcements there. All right, here we go, rapid fire. We're in the season of Lent, obviously. We began with our Wednesday evening dinners at 5:30 and services at 7 o'clock this past Wednesday with Ash Wednesday. Those will continue throughout the season of Lent. Everyone is encouraged to come this coming Wednesday. And again, prepare your hearts for the celebration of Jesus' death and resurrection on Good Friday and Easter coming only a few weeks from now. We have a special treat coming up on Wednesday, March 18th. The a cappella choir from Lakeside Lutheran High School, coming to us all the way from Wisconsin, will be singing to us in our Wednesday evening service. The choir is in need of host families to house them that evening and then bring them back to St. Mark's the next morning, which would be Thursday, March 19th. If you're interested in housing a choir member, we would very much appreciate that. There's a sign up in the church lobby, and you can indicate your willingness to serve as a host there. You've heard announcements about the member picture directory that we're preparing again. When you go into the entryway there, around the wall, the Board of Adult Discipleship has some sign-up forms there. There's information in your announcement flyer on how you can participate in that picture directory, whether having your picture taken or submitting a picture digital format. But please participate. It'll be an opportunity for us to put faces with names and really bring our St. Mark's family together. Choir members who participate in our adult choir at St. Mark's are reminded that rehearsals will be taking place Wednesday evenings after the Wednesday evening Lent services throughout the season of Lent. So no more Thursday evenings, choir rehearsals on Wednesday evenings. Everyone has an opportunity to take an active role in participating in our church's ministry. We have our semi-annual voters meeting this afternoon at 2:30. I think it was conveniently timed at 2:30 to make sure that the Daytona 500 would be finished by then. So you can go home and watch the race and be back for the meeting. It's an opportunity to hear updates from our various ministry boards and just, again, to be an active part of the ministry at St. Mark's. Everybody's encouraged to attend that. Pastor Schmidt would like the teens to know that they are planning a First Friday event for Friday, March 6th. This will be an open gym and pizza and movie night. The cost is $5 for the food, $4 for the movie at the theater over at the Sunrise Mall. And if you'd like to participate in that, Pastor Schmidt would appreciate an email, a text, a phone call, talking to him in person to let him know that you plan to participate. I also have two announcements related to our school. And the way things have been going this year, you probably know what the first one has to do with. Basketball. Last weekend, we took our A-level basketball teams down to California Lutheran High School in Wildomar, which is about exactly 500 miles from here. The Lord blessed us with safe travels and a wonderful weekend. Both of our teams, our boys and our girls, came home with tournament championships and received plaques like this. So we're very excited about that. Thank you. And two players from our teams, one gentleman and one young lady, were selected to the tournament all-star team. One of them is Renata Peppercorn, who's not a member of St. Mark's, but the boy representative is a member of St. Mark's, and he's here this morning. Zachary Russell, all-tournament team. Let's give him a quick round of applause. We played a tough team in the championship, the boys did. St. Paul from North Hollywood. And they beat us by about 6 points in the earlier rounds when we played them. And they had an outstanding player who scored a lot of points the first time that we played them. In the championship game, Zach locked him down and held him to maybe 8 points. So Zach was a huge part of our victory. And then the other announcement relates to this coming Friday. We have our winter performance, which is a musical play performed by our lower grades. This year they're going to be performing How Does Your Garden Grow? So if you're a gardener, we're probably only a month to 6 weeks away from planting our spring gardens. they might have some advice for you on how you can go about planting your garden this year. Even if they don't, I guarantee you it will be entertaining and fun. So this coming Friday at 6:30 over in the gymnasium, everyone's invited to that winter performance of How Does Your Garden Grow? I think I covered everything. As you leave this morning, please greet your brothers and sisters in Christ at St. Mark's, and may God bless your week. Thank you.